Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Welcome back. Here we are just leaving Egypt and heading for the Sea of Reeds. Hi, I'm Hirsch Galin, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And the Parsha this week is a special reading for Pesach, Passover, during the intermediate days. This reading emphasizes the special nature of the Jewish people. And it's in this reading that Moses requests to actually see God. Well, God tells Moses that he'll pass by and Moses will be able to see God from behind. And we're not sure what that means, but you can be sure that no man has gotten even that close to share space with the infinite intelligence and to be so near to the revealed creator of the universe. And, of course, comes up to Sunday night where we begin the last 2 days of Passover and stay up all night to witness the splitting of the Red Sea as it was done many, many years ago. Incredible miracle, still talked about, still felt as if it actually happened. And speaking of revelation, our staff is ready to reveal the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Deborah DeLin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. We could use your help. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week, and you can do that by sending an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or by calling 412-979-5770. And we'll give you the whole scoop on the whole deal there. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in our exciting endeavor with you. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and the community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. Popular Feminine Perspective is now sponsored by Lens Landscaping. And Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so you want to give him a call and reserve your spot. Rabbi Goldwasser's Popular Stories segment is sponsored by Rolodin. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. We do work hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to send in for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet you can pass around to your friends if you have one that you already have and you want another one. And, you know, let us spread the word. Let more people know about it. Every time they do, they'll thank you very, very much. You'll make a new friend. 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:31 p.m., so you can relax and enjoy the intermediate days of Passover and today's radio program.
Thank you.
Days of some really heavy music there. That was Hayom by Mandy Wald, and these selections this week on the JE were chosen by my daughter, Chayasara DeLynn. Thanks, Chayasara. Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
One of the ways that the Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice that was brought in Egypt, differentiated itself from the Pesach sacrifices that were brought in subsequent years, was that the Korban Pesach had to be eaten in their home, and they were not allowed to leave the entire night. The reason is because their house assumed the same status as the altar that stood in the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. The law is that if you would bring a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, you were not allowed to leave the city of Yerushalayim the entire night. So too, when the Jewish people were in Egypt, and they ate the Korban Pesach in their home, they were not allowed to leave their home the entire night. The reason for this is, Hashem wanted to show us, right at the beginning, when we were about to leave Egypt, when we became a nation, that the purpose of our becoming a nation was that we should bring holiness into the world, and specifically into our own lives and into our homes. When Hashem commanded us to build a sanctuary in the desert, a Mishkan, Hashem said, "V'osu li mikdash, you shall make for me a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'sochom, that I may dwell in them." Our sages note the change in tense. Hashem started by saying, "You shall make for me a sanctuary," singular, but concludes with, "that I may dwell in them," in the plural. Hashem was indicating to us right from the beginning that our mission is to bring holiness not only in the sanctuary, but within our lives and our homes. This is the reason why the Korban Pesach, which was brought in Egypt, the Jewish people had to stay in their home the entire night, because at that point their home actually had the same status as the altar that stood in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
Lo mo si shanashem, uro, okito, altina, lo netah.
It's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, 1810 to 1883. In 1838, having developed into a great scholar, Rabbi Yisrael entered public life, circulating through the small hamlets of Lithuania, eventually heading a prestigious Talmudic academy in Vilna, the so-called Jerusalem of Lithuania. His credentials as a towering Talmudic scholar now evident to all, Rabbi Yisrael felt that the time was ripe to launch his Mussar movement. In 1849, he opened a small yeshiva where he concentrated on molding disciples of preeminent intellectual caliber in the doctrines of Mussar. These students became the standard bearers of the fledgling movement, establishing it in scholarly circles. Although Rabbi Yisrael intended his movement to include the bulk of the Jewish people, the intellectual bent of Musar study tended to attract highly learned individuals. The intimate individualistic spiritual introspection that Musar study required was and is beyond the capacity of the average Jew. Rabbi Yisrael traveled to Germany and France in 1857, spending his final years there, attempting to reach Western European Jewry with his message. He died in Königsberg, Germany, now Kaliningrad, Russia, in 1883. Astounding stories were told of Rabbi Yisrael's behavior toward human beings. Although he did not intend it, many of his actions received broad coverage in the press, books, and literary works, evoking broad acclaim all over the world. In the words of one of his disciples, "Our master and rabbi illuminated the eyes of the diaspora through his many inquiries into and vast knowledge of the laws pertaining to money matters, robbery, and damages. In this respect, he was indeed unique in these generations." Three of the myriad examples of Rabbi Yisrael's behavior give a faint glimpse of this giant. While Rabbi Yisrael was eating, a poor widow came before him and complained that her son was about to be conscripted into the Russian army. If someone could only speak on her behalf to a certain Jewish leader who was well known to the authorities, there was a chance of freeing the boy. Rabbi Yisrael stopped eating. "If my son were in such a position," he said, "could I sit quietly and eat?" He immediately left the house and ran out to exert some pressure on behalf of the widow as if the boy were really his son. Once before Pesach, Rabbi Yisrael was unable to be present during matzah baking, in which he was extremely meticulous. His disciples, who were overseeing the baking, asked him for directions. Rabbi Yisrael instructed them to be extremely careful not to upset the woman who kneaded the dough and not to rush her, for she was a widow, and to upset her would be a violation of the prohibition against oppressing widows and orphans. Shmais chapter 22, Pasuk 21. According to Rabbi Yisrael, the matzah must be kosher according to both the laws of Pesach and the laws of human relations. Another time, Rabbi Yisrael was invited to one of his disciples' Shabbos evening meal. The host assured Rabbi Yisrael that he would have an uplifting experience from the lengthy Torah discussions and zmiros sung at the table. Rabbi Yisrael agreed to attend, providing the meal was shortened by 2 hours. Having little choice, the host reluctantly consented to the strange condition. At the meal, Rabbi Yisrael rushed one course after another, and they ended in less than an hour. Greatly perturbed, Rabbi Yisrael's host asked if his esteemed teacher had found fault in the host's conduct. Rabbi Yisrael did not reply, but asked the cook to come into the dining room. "Please forgive me," he said to her, "for tiring you this evening and causing you to hurry and serve one course after another without a break." The cook exclaimed, "If only you would come every Friday night. Thanks to you, I can go home 2 hours early." Rabbi Yisrael turned to his disciple and said, "Your conduct at the table is truly praiseworthy, but not at the expense of others." In the final hours of his life, a simple Jew attended to Rabbi Yisrael. He spent his last moments reassuring the man that dead people are harmless and that there is no reason to fear being alone with a corpse. Rabbi Yisrael died as he had lived, always showing concern for the other person. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos and Pesach.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Mordechai Shanker.
The priestly blessings at the Western Wall in Jerusalem's Old City. If you didn't get there early, good luck finding a good place to stand. Tens of thousands of people there, standing on just about every flat surface within view of the Western Wall, as hundreds of Kohanim, Jewish priests, descendants of Moses' brother Aaron, gathered together from all over the country to give a large mass blessing to the nation of Israel. The priestly blessing actually happens as part of the morning prayer service, often when there are Kohanim present in Israel. It's less common outside of Israel. But what's so extra special about this huge blessing during the holiday here in Israel is that it is a pilgrimage holiday, and this Birkat Kohanim priestly blessing happening from the Western Wall as close as the multitude of Jews go to the Temple Mount. Back to mundane things. A major arms sale that the Bush administration is offering Saudi Arabia and other Persian Gulf allies in order to deter Iran being delayed because of objections from Israel. According to a report in the New York Times, Israeli officials, including former Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz, have come to Washington lobbying against elements of the planned sales to Saudi Arabia. In particular, they don't want certain precision satellite-guided weapons to be transferred. Those would give Saudi warplanes the ability to strike targets extremely accurately. Capitol Hill in the States supports Israel maintaining a qualitative military edge. A senior U.S. administration official says that Israelis understand that it's in the U.S. best interest and in the Israeli best interest for the U.S. to shore up the military systems for the Sunni Arab allies, but that Israel's concerned there could be a revolution in Saudi Arabia brought about by Osama bin Laden, and that might leave the Saudi arsenal in the hands of the more militant Islamists. A Palestinian Authority official working on plans and funding to refurbish a PA-controlled airport in southern Gaza, Dania, to repair and upgrade two PA passenger aircraft and to buy two new ones to bypass issues of Israeli permission. In the meantime, the PA planning to start their flights into and out of the El Arish airport in Egypt. It's in the northern Sinai. Senior source in Israel's security services telling Israel National Radio that it is now unreasonable for the government of Israel to approve the Palestinian operating of that Dania airport as long as the Qassam rockets are still flying from Gaza towards the Negev. Egyptian authorities also expressing reservations about having flights be renewed out of Gaza. The whole airport initiative there is part of the power struggle between Hamas and Fatah. Back to good news. Tourism is so far up in Judea and Samaria, so many people flocking to tourist sites that some of them are actually being turned away. The tourist organizations have now announced that the tourism has apparently returned to the level it was at 7 years ago before the most recent increased wave of Muslim violence after the Oslo Accords. One of the most visited sites, the ancient village Susia near Hebron. A lot of people going on nature hikes as opposed to historical sites. After six transplant operations here in Israel in the first 2 days of the holiday, there's a shortage of blood. Now Magen David Adom, the Red Star of David, planning to open extra blood donation centers from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Jerusalem, Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Beersheba. One reason for the shortage, the large number of transplant surgeries that have been performed over the Passover holiday. Six transplants have been performed in the last 2 days in Petah Tikva, and the number of blood donors is also down because of the holiday. Many Israelis are traveling. As the British Marines enjoying their return home to England, after their short stint of being hostages in Iran, senior Israeli officials warning that the planned meeting between British consul Richard Makepeace and Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh will lead to more kidnappings of foreigners. Makepeace and Haniyeh meeting to discuss kidnapped British reporter Alan Johnston, the first meeting between a senior British official and a member of the Hamas terrorist group which Britain has boycotted in the past. On the Jewish calendar, it's Yud Zion, the 17th day of the Jewish month Nisan. The weather, hot through Sunday. Chance of substantial rain next week, though. Mordechai Shanker, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Last couple of days before we enter the Sfira period where music is going to kind of go the a cappella way for a couple of weeks, I want to wish a very hearty mazel tov to Dr. Milton Bossy, who's Jeremy's grandfather, our engineer on the program, who is very much near death and just recently got released from the hospital. So we wish him all the best and continued good health. With the winter behind us, it's time now to get your kids age 3 to 11 registered in Camp Gan Yisrael for a summer of a lifetime. Camp runs from July 9th to August 17th at the Yeshiva Boys and Girls School buildings with swimming and trips off of campus. For more information, you can visit cgipittsburgh.com or you can call Rabbi Shmuley Rothman at 412-715-4883. That's Rabbi Shmuley and Chani Rothman, directors. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. It's not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. And if you'd like to have your mazel tovs on our program, you can give us a call, 412-979-5770, or give us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 7:31 p.m.
Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach, Tishkach Yemini Tidbak l'shayni Yahai l'chiki Imlai eskerechi Tishkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach, Tishkach Yemini Tidbak l'shayni Ahay l'chiki Imlai eskerechi Imloy ale es Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi Imloy ale es Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi
the best in beautiful music right here on your Jewish Experience radio program. In this next segment, we had scheduled an interview with Mr. Travis Smith, who is a righteous Noahide, somebody who not just follows the Seven Commandments of Noah, but learns them in depth and participates in the Noahide Academy, which is an incredible educational undertaking. Well, this gentleman unfortunately fell ill today and had to be rushed to the hospital, and we want to wish him a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, and our prayers are with him. And also, I want to thank Dr. Michael Shulman for coming in his place to give us a very special message for this coming up 8th day Achron Shel Pesach. Dr. Michael Shulman.
Before the year 1200 in the Common Era, Moshe Maimonides completed his Mishneh Torah, which codifies the 613 Jewish commandments and the seven universal commandments in the Torah. The last two chapters describe the future Jewish king, the Messiah, or Mashiach in Hebrew, a father-to-son descendant of King David, whom God will send to begin the Messianic era for all mankind. That era will reach its ultimate godly purpose with the resurrection of the righteous in the era of the world to come. As it says in Isaiah chapter 26, those who lie in the dust will awaken and sing joyful praises. In the words of Maimonides, anyone among the nations of the world who carefully fulfills the seven universal commandments from the Torah of Moses is considered by God as one of the pious among the nations, and he will merit a share in the world to come. He then goes on to explain that the King Mashiach will have his capital in Jerusalem, where he will build the third holy temple and gather all the Jewish people to Israel. Then Mashiach will improve the entire world, motivating all the nations to serve God together. Then the surrounding nations will return to the true Torah faith of their seven commandments, and they will no longer steal or destroy. In that era there will be neither famine nor war, envy or competition, for good will flow in abundance, and all the lights will be as common as dust. The occupation of the entire world will be only to know God, as it says in Isaiah chapter 11. The world will be filled with the knowledge of God, as the sea fills the ocean bed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that through the spiritual refining of the nations, they will all come to praise God when they realize that He gave great kindness to the Jewish people, as it says in Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol Him, all you peoples, for His kindness was mighty over us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. And that praise from the nations, which we can encourage right now, is a very high level, even higher than God's giving of this kindness. And that is how God will complete the purpose that He desired, that the entire lowest physical world will be a dwelling place for Him. Isaiah chapter 2 prophesies about the participation of the righteous Gentiles at the third temple. And it will come to pass at the end of days that the mountain of God's house will be firmly established, even higher than the peaks, and all the people will flow toward it as a river. And many nations will go and will cry, "Let us go up toward the mountain of God's house, to the house of the Lord of Jacob, and we will learn from His ways and walk in His paths. For out of Zion goes forth Torah and the word of God from Jerusalem." In our synagogue service on the 8th day of Passover, we read from Isaiah chapter 11, "It shall be on that day that the descendant of Jesse, who stands as a banner for the peoples, nations will seek him." But what does all this mean in practical terms? The Lubavitcher Rebbe explained that we should influence everyone to follow the seven universal laws, including the knowledge that there is a master of the world, and that the nature of this master is true goodness, so nothing truly bad can occur. And when he was asked by a CNN reporter, the Rebbe gave a message to the world. Mashiach is ready to come now. Our part is to add in deeds of goodness and kindness. To learn more about this, please visit www.asknoah.org.
in Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, I'll treat your land like it was my own. Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Devorah DeLynn.
One of the deepest concepts that form the basis of Judaism is the concept of the final redemption and the coming of Mashiach, the Messiah. In addition to the fact that it has never been experienced before, what the rabbis tell us will happen seems to be a utopian idea. We, in our secular, enlightened society, have been living with the predominant fact that human nature and the world itself cannot possibly come to such a perfect state of being. Also, many are happy with their current mode of life. They have food, clothes, a nice house and car, a beautiful family. It's only when tragedy strikes, or bad news reaches us, God forbid, that we realize the truth and honestly begin yearning for the final redemption. As we approach the final days of the holiday of Pesach, preparations are made to consider the future. Many non-religious people have told me that they see Judaism as a revival of the past. The rituals and ceremonies we have seem to focus on things that happened back then. True, the past is very important, but it is only so when we use past lessons to help us today. In the words of George Santayana, those who fail to learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. Pesach shows us this idea. The first days of Pesach, we focus on the Exodus from Egypt, a past event. The last days of Pesach, we focus on Mashiach, an event of the future. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov established the idea of a Mashiach Seuda, a meal that parallels a Seder. We have four cups of wine and eat matzah, but instead of the Exodus from Egypt, we focus on our coming Exodus out of Galus. On the last days of Pesach, we read the section in the Torah dealing with Azyashir, the song the Jews sang when they crossed the Red Sea. There were 10 songs that were sung during the course of history. The 10th is Shir Chadash, a new song that will be sung in the times of Mashiach. Interestingly, there were two versions of Azyashir, a masculine one and a feminine one. The feminine song was led by Miriam, the sister of Moshe and Aaron, and the leader of the women. Her name means bitterness, for she, being a woman, was truly able to experience and understand the bitterness of exile. It was Miriam, with her feminine capacity for endurance and hope, who stood by the river, watching her baby brother Moshe and ensuring his rescue. The image of a watchful guardian brings to mind Rachel Imenu, Rachel, our matriarch and wife of Yaakov. She, who gave up her place in Ma'aras HaMachpelah in order that she would be there to cry for her children and intercede on their behalf. It is she, more than any other male patriarch or leader, that is able to feel our pain and empathize in our struggle. Because the women in Egypt felt the pain of exile more intensely than the men, their faith was stronger and more enduring. When the sin of the golden calf occurred, the women were not enticed by the idol, for they believed in Miriam and her family. We learned all of this previously at our Seder when we discussed the Exodus. Let us apply it to the future, for we are focusing on that in the last days of Pesach. Mashiach is a person, time, revelation, that will bring perfection to the world, peace between nations, and prosperity for all. Today, we are merely disillusioned by a facade of prosperity. How can one be truly prosperous and happy when his brother is suffering? Our faith in goodness, morality, and godliness, and our application of these values are what will bring Mashiach. Sometimes it takes pain and suffering in order to create enduring faith. But we have gone through all that. Enough is enough. It is time for Mashiach. Have a good Shabbos and a Mashiach Dika Pesach.
Hashem v'nei rofei Hoi shiyeinu B'ni v'sheya Hoi ki zihi lo seinu atah Ki zihi lo seinu
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Roladin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Come and see the power of faith in Hashem and in His tzaddikim. This story took place in the days of Rav Moshe Galanty. May the memory of this tzaddik be for a blessing. The Rav of Yerushalayim about 250 years ago. It was a year of terrible drought. The winter season had already almost ended, but no rain had fallen. The rainfall was essential not only for crops and fruits, but even for drinking water, which had become scarce. All the water in the wells had been used up, and the danger of thirst hovered over the settlement. In the shuls, many prayers and supplications were offered up, but the windows of the heavens remained closed. Then the Pasha sent a messenger to the head of the rabbis in Yerushalayim, saying that if they did not bring rainfall within the next 3 days, all the Jews would be thrown out of the city. It is the Jews' fault that the rains have not fallen, said the Pasha. The Jewish community was thrown into confusion at the arrival of the Pasha's order. The Rav decreed 3 days of fasting and prayer, but the skies remained clear. On the third day, towards sundown, the Rav directed all the members of the community to accompany him to the grave of Shimon HaTzadik, ordering all of them to take along scarves, raincoats, and winter shoes, for there would be a heavy rainstorm when they returned. The people wondered at these instructions, since the sun beat down in full force. But no one defied the righteous man's directive, and all of them left the city wearing winter clothes. When they went to depart from the city gate, the guard there could not believe his eyes. A large congregation, dressed as if rain was pouring down, approached him. When the people told him that this was the Rav's command, the guard did not hold himself back and slapped the Rav in the face. The Rav merely looked at him and continued silently on his way. When they reached the valley of Yehoshaphat, at the grave of Shimon HaTzadik, the Rav kneeled down, stretched himself over the grave, and whispered holy words. Suddenly, a storm wind blew, rustling the branches of the olive trees. The clear heavens filled with clouds, and raindrops began to fall. The Rav continued with his supplication, and the raindrops became a raging storm, till torrents of rain began pouring down the hillsides. The people covered themselves up with their coats and ventured their way back to the city. The guard at the wall jumped from his perch and fell down before the feet of the Rav to ask forgiveness. Afterwards, the guard carried him aloft in his own arms so that the Rav's feet would not get wet from the winter flooding the streets. All that night and through the days that followed, the Jews of Yerushalayim celebrated. The rain did not cease for 3 days and three nights, and everyone admitted that the rain fell only in the merit of the great Rav of Yerushalayim and his prayers that he offered to Shimon HaTzadik. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up a special Chol HaMoed, Intermediate Days of Passover edition of the Jewish Experience, get ready for the last 2 days of Passover, the 7th and the 8th day, when we witness the splitting of the Red Sea. Just a couple of reminders. Gan Yisrael Camp, July 9th to August 17th. You want to register your kid now. 412-715-4883. Rabbi Shmuley and Connie Rothman, directors on that one. Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program is not for women only. Men are invited. Call Lon at 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us if you want to have your mazel tov on our program, 412-979-5770. Or drop us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Buy a new nun Monday for that week's program. So, we can't leave, of course, without thanking our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, musicalmoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman for his special segment today, Ms. Deborah Delin, and our engineer, General Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:31 p.m. And it's been a ton of fun, but I am done. Till next week, I'm Hirsch Delin. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat and a happy rest of the days of Passover. We'll see you next week.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, Malachi Elyon, Malachi Elyon, Mi Melech.